The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenant to collect his produce. But the tenant seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we have already sung, God is love. All of us are still reeling from the events in Las Vegas earlier this week. 7 days removed, it is now the latest in a string of such tragedies in recent years to hold the eerie title of worst mass shooting in modern American history. Some of us have already gathered together in prayer, either at a special service we put together here at St. Cross on Monday evening, or at our weekly Wednesday 7 p.m. Eucharist, or yes, for some of us at both. They were powerful opportunities to gather, to be quiet, to pray, or simply to be present and allow the words of our liturgy to speak for us if we weren't able to muster any words ourselves. And this is true each time we gather, especially so this morning. Today, each of us has brought the joys and concerns of our hearts. Each of us has come to offer all of it to God, in the midst, in the quiet confidence that God is in fact in the midst of it all. For as we have already sung, God is love. And love enfolds us, all the world in one embrace. With unfailing grasp, God holds us, every child of every race. And when human hearts are breaking under sorrow's iron rod, then we find that same self-aching deep within the heart of God. These words of love and hope come from the second verse of our opening hymn. In two different parish emails this week, many of you may have read words from me about how God has a proclivity to show up in new ways through liturgical decision-making. Hymn 379, God is love, let heaven adore him, had been chosen weeks before during our weekly liturgy meeting to be sung on this particular Sunday. Of course, we had no idea then of the new residence it would possess in light of current events. That is often how God shows up. Or perhaps more accurately, often how we see God's presence in the midst of us, only after the fact, in hindsight. For God has been, is, and will always be there all along. And so this day we affirm that the heart of God, which is love, is aching, aching at the violence of Las Vegas and so many other places in our country and our world. For God not only hears our cries of sorrow and pain, but goes further, meeting us in our aching, in our pain and confusion at this suffering, as well as in our shouts of frustration and even anger that gun violence continues to take the lives of so many in our country, with what seems to be increasing scale each time. We bring all of it to the altar this Sunday, trusting that God is love and love enfolds us, all the world, in one embrace. We come to this place to meet love, for our God lives with us in a relationship of love sealed long ago, and a promise of covenant and commitment. That time long ago, when our forebears and God sealed this promise of faithfulness for all time, comes in the Exodus story. More specifically, it comes by way of the story we hear this morning of Moses and the Ten Commandments. In these Ten Commandments, the people of God are given the opportunity to be with God no longer at a distance, but face to face. In these Ten Commandments, the people of God are given the opportunity to become not just a nation, but to live the plan God has for them. One fulfilled through love, faithfulness, and justice. Through this moment of the Exodus story, God has established forever that love of God and love of neighbor are inextricably linked. All of our lives are known to God, so therefore all aspects of our life together matter to God. How we treat one another will now be part and parcel of how we honor God. God's delivery of the Ten Commandments through Moses on Mount Sinai is also a moment of liberation. As a famous biblical scholar once wrote, the Ten Commandments are a picture of the way free people live. So at the heart of this story is freedom born out of relationship. That same biblical scholar went on to note that many Americans have often experienced the Ten Commandments as limits on our freedom, because many of us have misunderstood freedom as keeping all options open. But rather, freedom here, freedom in God's design, is commitment. Commitment within a relationship of covenant and promise. That is what freedom is. And these laws, these commandments, show us what a free life is like. God loves us enough to give us the space to be free, to make our own decisions, and choose how far we are willing to dare to love God back through our treatment of one another and all creation. So where are the current tests of this love? How are we as a society managing this freedom? You may have heard it said that the opposite of love is not hate, but the opposite of love is fear. So much of what plagues our nation and our world now is rooted in fear. Fear of the other, fear of the other, fear of one another. And we are all of us complicit. In the aftermath of Las Vegas, many of us might be afraid for our own safety, afraid to attend events like this with large crowds. Even if we know the statistics of such events are extremely low, fear, by definition, does not live in the most rational of realms. And yet there are also fears in our world of a less obvious nature, fears which often cause us to act out in anything but love, as we convince ourselves and others that our fear is justified. And we find this in another aspect of our liturgy this morning, in our collect that we prayed at the beginning of the service. There we prayed for God to forgive us those things of which our conscience is afraid. Simple questions for us as individuals and as a community might well be, what are we afraid of? What are those things for which our integrity, our Ten Commandments' sense of what is right and how we are to treat one another, how has this been possessed by fear? As we have after Orlando, San Bernardino, Charleston, Newtown, and far too many other times, our country has asked a different question. Is it now the time to look hard at how we responsibly regulate certain firearms in this country? Whether or not it is that time is not a question that I can answer or any of us can on our own. It will take all of us asking together. What we can and should, and I dare say must, ask of ourselves and this country are the following questions. How well are we loving God and one another? To what extent do we trust the promise of God's faithfulness that these two will always be bound together? To what extent are we willing to trust God's notion of freedom in covenant and commitment over our own? What conversations and possibilities might we be afraid to address honestly and openly? And finally, why? Why have we become so accustomed to these incidents and seeing them as the inevitable new normal? Whatever the answers to those questions might be, we can be rest assured of one thing, that love will be our way out. Love has been and will always be the opposite of fear. For in the words of the first letter of John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Love will be the reason we trust the most quoted phrase of Scripture that we hear also this morning. Do not be afraid. Love, rooted in our foundation of God's covenant and commitment in our lives, will be what brings these hard conversations to light into our families and our churches and our neighborhoods and our workplaces. love will be the source of our capacity to listen and have hard conversations with those with whom we disagree. For as we have already sung, God is love. God is love, and though with blindness sin afflicts all human life, God's eternal loving kindness guides us through all earthly strife. Sin and death and hell shall never o'er us final triumph gain. God is love, so love forever, or the universe must reign. Amen.